התעסקו לשנים רבות נעימות וטובות דברי תורה לעדו נשמת דוד אדוארד בן מרים רוח השם תניחנו בגן עדן אמן. I know it's not an easy task to come out a couple of nights before Pesach. Everybody's very busy with all the preparations between the cleaning and the cooking and all the other things that are necessary to prepare us for the next days. But I want to explain to you that coming to a shi'ur is also a preparation for the Hag. Part of the Hag is having wisdom. When one comes to the Seder, he has to have something to say, he has to have something to talk about. So the Seder needs preparation. It's not enough to come at the night itself and start scrambling in the Haggadah trying to look for something to say. You know what that would be like? Imagine they come to the Seder, and right before the matzah, you go in the kitchen, you start making the matzot. You have to make the matzot from a month before. Similarly, you must prepare for the Haggadah from before. The main food of Pesach, of course, is the matzah. The Torah calls the matzah lechem oni, the bread of a poor man. In the beginning of the Haggadah, we say, ha lachma anya, vi achalu abhatana bar adel Israel. The Torah, the Haggadah, calls it poor man's bread, lachma anya. And the question is why? What makes the matzah lechem oni? Why is it poor man's bread? If I wanted to say a simple interpretation, I would say because of its ingredients. The ingredients are very poor. Flour and water, that's it. Even bread has flour, water, salt, spices, all sorts of, tabdinim, shemarim, preservatives. But matzah, we're not even allowed to put salt. No, we cannot even put after we bake it. אחרי האפייה אתה יכול לעשות מה שאתה רוצה. אבל לאפות את זה, רק מים וקמח. וזה העניות של הדבר. Ingredients makes it poor. For example, if let's say somebody would take a flour, and instead of mixing it with water, they would mix it with wine. This already is called matzah ashira. In America we call it egg matzah. But matzah ashira, what's ashira? Oh, that's wine, or oil, or juice. But when it has the most basic ingredients, flour and water, it's the most simple of all foods, lechem oni. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation why it's called lechem oni is because it's ma'achal shel aniyim. Poor people eat matzah. Why? Because it digests very slowly. It sits in the stomach for a long time. A poor man, he doesn't have food to eat three meals a day. So he figures out to eat a food that's very, very heavy and digests very slowly. So he can eat one meal in the morning and it lasts in his stomach till the evening. And that's what Paro fed the Jews in Egypt. So there's a big misunderstanding. People think that the matzah is when we left Egypt. We put the dough on our shoulders and we were rushing out and it got sunbaked. That's true. That's the matzah of freedom. But there's the matzah of shi'bud. The matzah of shi'bud of slavery is the matzah that we were fed in Egypt. And that's why in the beginning of the Haggadah we say, ha lachma anya di achalu abhatana bar adel Mitzrayim. We ate this in Egypt because Paro wanted to conserve. He wants to give us a cheap food. He wants us to be full so he doesn't have to spend more money on Seudot. That's why the Hachamim say, on the night of Pesach, we take the middle matzah and we break it in half. What's the business? Why should we break it in half? Usually, we always like something to be shalem. Especially when it comes to the bread on Friday night, we always take a complete bread. We don't like to cut it until after the beracha. And here on Pesach we do something strange. Before we make the hamotzi, much before, we take the middle matzah, boom, we break it. Why? And we take the half of it and we hide it. We put it in the, in the reserved place, only to bring it out after for the afikoman. Why do we break it? Explanation is because we're symbolizing the two matzot. There's the matzah of shi'bud and there's the matzah of geula. When we say the Haggadah, we're talking to the matzah of shi'bud. This is the matzah that we ate as slaves. After we finish the Haggadah and we start drinking the kosot, now we say bring the afikoman. That's the matzah of herut. So the breaking of the matzah is to remind us that there was two matzot. Now, I know this is not a halakha class. Baruch Hashem, you have your great rabbi. He'll tell you how much matzah you have to eat. He'll tell you all the halakhot. But if I'm allowed just to give you an advice, you ask the rabbi the bottom line halakha. But I'll tell you what I do in my house to make the seder go easy. Because nobody at the seder knows how much to eat. They pick up, is this enough? This enough? And the balabai says, yeah. And he says, keep on, more. Tukhav. He doesn't know how much he has to eat. So everybody's just winging it. They're eating what they think. According to the halakha, a person should try to have, on Lel Seder, at least 4 kezayit. If he can, 5 kezayit. But we'll leave the 5 kezayit for a minute. 4 kezayit. 2 for motzi matzah, 1 for korech, and 1 for afikoman. You hear what we said? 2 for motzi matzah, 1 for korech, and 1 for afikoman. Now the question is, what's kezayit? That's the $1 million question. Kezayit is the size of an olive. But that doesn't mean the size of an olive, because then you'll eat just a little piece that's bigger. We know it's much bigger than that. So how do you figure out shi'ud of a kezayit? Very simple, the Hachamim say. This is what I'm telling you, is from Hacham Ben Zion Abba Shaul. He says, get a scale, like a food scale, or the scale that they have from Weight Watchers. It measures the grams of the food. Take the matzah that you're going to use, the round matzot or the square, whatever matzah you have. Take it and put it on the scale. And you'll see, as you put it on the scale, it goes down. Chaim Ben Zion says, if you take the round matzot, 20 grams equals a kezayit. Yeah, when you weigh a round matzah, 20 grams is kezayit. When should you do this? Before Pesach. On Thursday, you do an experiment. You buy a scale, you put it, you say, oh, this is 20 grams. I'll tell you what I do in my house. I take a bag, I take the 20 grams, I put it in a bag. Now, I save this for the Leil Pesach, this bag. So now when we cut the Motzi Matzah, I know this is exactly Shi'ud Kezayit. But I don't only make one bag. I say, I'm having 20 people at my house. I make 20 bags. Now, we say, Motzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. Al Achilat Matzah. And now, all of a sudden, I give each one a bag. B'chavod. Mishloach Manot Ish L'Re'ehu Matanot Le'Evyonim. Everybody gets a bag. Hey, what does this say? Don't talk. This is exactly the shiur of kezayit. Now for motzi matzah, I give them 2 bags. Because I have to have 2 kezayits. And then when it comes to korech, no, more bags in a kezayit. Afikoman, kezayit. So it's very easy. That makes the seder go smooth. You don't have to start measuring and running out of matzah. Everything is pre-packaged. And everybody gets exactly the shiur that they're supposed to get. So you should prepare 3 bags. One for motzi matzah that has 2 kezayis, 40 grams of matzah. One for korech that has 20 grams. And one for afikoman that has 20 grams. 40, 20, 20. You want to be fancy, you put on the bag motzi matzah, korech, afikoman, and everybody gets a... Now, I'll tell you something else. Another reason why we hide the matzah. Somebody asked me, what's the reason for this hacham? We have the matzah on the table. We break it. Okay, we break it. We told you why we break it. But why do we hide half the matzah? And then the custom is that a child brings it back. Usually the child blackmails the parent. And he says, oh, I'm not bringing it back unless you buy me a bicycle. When my children come in, I said, don't bring it back. We're finished. We'll make Birkat HaMazon. We won't have a Bikuman. What do you mean, Dad? We have to have a Bikuman. No, I'm not. We won't have a Bikuman. It's okay. They bring it back anyway. But the question is why? Why is it that we hide it, and why do we bring it back with a child? So I came to say a chidush on this as well. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the matzah is called Nehama de Mehemenuta, the bread of Emunah. That means somehow when one eats the matzah, it's able to bring Emunah to a person. If a person is lacking vitamin C, he goes to the doctor says you have scurvy. So he gives him vitamins, a supplement. He says take two vitamin C's every day in order to replenish. Another person goes to the doctor and he's anemic. The doctor says you need to have iron pills. Another one goes to the doctor and says you don't have vitamin D. You have to drink some milk. Another one's lacking protein. You have to have meat, fish. The Zohar HaKadosh says if somebody's lacking emunah, you eat the matzah. The matzah is mechla de mehemenuta or nehama de mehemenuta. Something in the matzah brings a person to emunah. What's the explanation? How could a food like this bring a person to emunah? So we explained it. We explained it as follows. The Gemara writes in Pesachim why we break the matzah. The Gemara says, you know why we break it? Because darko shel ani befrusa. The way of a poor man is to eat in pieces. The poor man doesn't have a whole loaf. When he goes to the bakery, he cannot afford to buy a whole loaf. He says, give me the scraps. Give me the pieces. He throws a few pennies on the counter. Darko shel ani befrusa. And therefore we're remembering that we were aniim in Egypt. So we break it. Darko shel ani befrusa. But I explained the Gemara deeper. It's Gemara Pesachim, page 115. I explained the Gemara like this. Baruch Hashem, none of us, Be'ezat Hashem, are not aniim. Everybody has more or less. But I'm sorry to tell you that ani is not only economically. Ani is not only based on how much money you have in the bank. The Gemara says, "En ani ela bedaat." You know who the biggest poor man is? Somebody that doesn't have da'at. Somebody that doesn't have understanding. Somebody that doesn't have comprehension. Somebody that doesn't have perception. The Gemara says, "En ani ela bedaat." You could have a very wealthy man, but he's confused. He doesn't understand. He has questions. He's baffled. He's bewildered. All the money in the world, but his mind is not at ease. His mind is not at peace. He has no understanding. En ani ela bedaat. And if that's the interpretation of the Gemara, I'm sorry to tell you that if that's the case, we're all aniim. Because when we come into this world, the world doesn't make any sense to us. There's a lot of inconsistencies in the world. There's a lot of things that don't make sense. There's a lot of things that seem as injustices. There's a lot of things that seem to us unfair and even wrong and even, God forbid, Hasb Shalom, a mistake. We wonder when things happen in the world as generally, how could the Sha'in prosper? How could there be wicked people that prosper so much? And how could it be that Tzaddikim suffer? How could it be that so many couples are married, they don't have children, but minnan? Or God forbid when we see sick children, or God forbid when a person is struggling to make a parnasa. The difficulties of life. And then the Gemara comes along and says, how are you supposed to address this? You're supposed to say, "Kol da'avid rahmana le'tav avid." Everything is for the best. Hashem knows what he's doing. This is called emunah. Emuna comes and tells you that even though you don't understand it, and even though you have questions, you must accept upon yourself that Hashem loves you. Ibn Ezra says on the Pasuk, Banim atem la Hashem. Noted what they do. Alamet. In the olden days, there was a custom, but when somebody passed away, the people that came to the funeral, they would scratch themselves and they would pull their hair out. The Torah says, you're not allowed to do that. Banim atem la Hashem. You're the children of God. Do not pull your hair out at the time of death. Ibn Ezra says, what's the connection? You're the children of God, don't pull your hair out. So he says, God is your father and he loves you more than a father loves his child. And he will do nothing to harm you. And everything that he does is for your best. Letov and lemu'il. And he only has your interest. And therefore, a person, God forbid, is allowed to mourn, but he cannot exaggerate because everything is good. Therefore, do not overly mourn or show sign of anguish. Borei Olam knows what he's doing, but that takes emunah. It's easy to talk this, but we have to talk about it a lot, because I never met a person that his life is a straight line. I never met a person that everything in his life goes smooth. There's ups, there's downs, there's difficulties, and that's where emunah comes into play. Somebody asked me, Rabbi, what's the difference between emunah and bitachon? That's a good question. It sounds like they're the same word, emunah and bitachon. Explanation is, emunah is in the brain. You ask me, ata ma'amin? Vaday, ani ma'amin. Bima ata ma'amin? Ani ma'amin sheyesh borei olam. Ve'ani ma'amin shu kol yachol. Ve'hu haya ve'hu ve'hu yehyeh. ואני מאמין שהוא משגיע בעליונים ובתחתונים, ואני מאמין שהוא אוהב אותי, וכל אני, זה, אני מאמין זה במוח, זה, it's in concept. טוב, that's אמונה. What is ביטחון? ביטחון, כשאני לוקח את האמונה שלי שזה במוח, ואני משתמש בזה בפועל. Which means, bitachon means it's a verb. To take the emunah and then to live according to it. אם אתה מאמין שהכל טוב ורחמנה לטב עביד וגם זו לטובה, אז למה אתה בוכה כל היום? אז יש לך אמונה אבל אין לך בטחון. אתה יכול לכתוב ספר על אמונה אבל אין לך את למעשה.
אבל למה רבנים גדולים בארץ לוקחים שומרי ראש? שומרי ראש ישמור עליו שלא ירעבו אותו.
שאלה טובה שאלת. למה לוקים, זאת אומרת security?
Security.
שאלה טובה.
רב גדול.
נכון, גם אני אקח, למה? אבל אני לא רב גדול. הגמרא אומרת שאם האמונה והביטחון, אדם צריך לנהוג כמנהג העולם, כדרך העולם. אדם לא יכול
להתנהג ברומא כרומאי.
כן, לא, לא. אדם לא יכול לסמוך על נס. אדם יגיד, יש לי ביטחון. יש לי אמונה בביטחון, יסגור את העיניים, וילך בתוך הכביש, כשה-red light. ויראה ככה, אם השם יוצא, אני אחיה. זה משוגע, זה טיפש. זה נקרא מאבד את עצמו לדעת. Suicide. איפה הביטחון? ביטחון זה לא להיות משוגע. ביטחון זאת אומרת, בתוך הטבע, בתוך להיות נורמלי, אדם כזה שיש לו high profile, יש אנשים שרוצים לפגוע בו, להיגע בו. אז דרך הטבע שישימו משטרה, ישימו אותו שומר ראש. זה לא חסרון, אבל מה הביטחון? הרב הגדול הזה אומר לעצמו, עם כל השומרי ראש, אם הקדוש ברוך הוא רוצה שאני אפגע, עם כל השומרי ראש גם אני אפגע. הם לא יועילו. אם הקדוש ברוך הוא רוצה, ישימו חומה של ברזל בסביבי, וזה לא יועיל, זה העניין של ביטחון, שהוא מאמין, עשיתי את ההשתדלות שלי, אבל הקדוש ברוך הוא יכול לעזור מה שהוא רוצה עם כל ההשתדלות שלי, וזה לא סתידה. מחילה, go back to English.
Please, yes.
Whenever I get a chance to show off my Hebrew, I like to take advantage. In Brooklyn, they don't let me talk Hebrew either. I talk Hebrew, they catch me in the first word. Don't worry, I'll go back. I'll go back. So anyway, We have emunah, we have bitachon. Bitachon is to take the emunah and put it into a practicality. And that is to learn how to accept things, and Hashem is good, and everything is right, and that gets us through the day. It gets us through the problems. There's a Gemara. The Gemara says that there was a rabbi called Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, he had a student, Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. And they were learning. Rabbi Yochanan's son got sick. Bar Minan. So what happened? He told Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa to pray. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa prayed, and the rabbi's son got better. Rabbi Yochanan's wife said, "What? He's a bigger rabbi than you? He's your student." He says, "What? Even though he's my student, if I would pray all day long, I wouldn't get answered. He prays, get answered." She says, "Why?" He says, "Because me, I'm compared to a sar lifnei hamelech. I'm like a prince in front of the king. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, he's like a serpent in front of the king." What does that mean? What did he mean, Rabbi Yochanan, when he said, "I'm like a prince in front of the king, therefore my prayers don't get answered, but he's like a serpent in front of the king, therefore his prayers do get answered"? I'll tell you the way I always understood the Gemara, before I tell you the Hiddush. The always way I understood it is, who's higher, a prince or a servant? The prince. However, who has access? Who has easier access? The prince or the servant? The servant. Why? The prince, as much as he's hashuv, he needs to make an appointment with the king. What time should I come? What time is the meeting? How long is the meeting? Even though he has access, but it needs to go according to the protocol. The eved, he comes to clean up whatever he wants. As the king is sitting, he tells the king, "Get up, I need to clean on the chair." Is under the table. The servant, the maid, is there all the time. He gets in whenever he wants. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan said, he's like an Eved of Shnei HaMelech. He has access anytime he wants to come to the king. He doesn't have to wait for protocol. So therefore, his tefillot are answered. But I saw an interpretation from a great rabbi called Rav Levi Yitzhak Miberdichev. I was there by the grave of Rav Levi Yitzhak a few days ago. We were in Berdichev in Ukraine. Listen to the Hiddush that he writes in Kedushat HaLevi. He says like this. He says, the Sar b'fnei Melech, the prince in front of the king, he's considered somebody that's on the inside. He knows exactly what the king's thinking. He knows exactly why the king is doing everything. He's in the cabinet. He knows all the inside information. The Eved, nobody tells him the private information. The Eved just knows what happened, but he doesn't know why things happen. He's not privy to all the details. He's an Eved. So Rabbi Yochanan said, "You know why his prayers are answered? Because Amasar, when he saw his son sick, he says, 'I know why it's happening, and I know it's good. Therefore I don't pray so hard, because I know what's in God's brain. I know that God does everything for the best, so therefore my tefillah, it's good, but it's not as potent, because I know in the end that Hashem is doing it for the best.' But Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa is like an Eved. He's not as inside as me. So therefore he doesn't know why it's happening. So therefore he's able to pray with more kavana." Rabbi Yochanan was saying that those people that understand the Sar b'fnei Melech, the way of the Boreh, they have no questions. But that takes many, many years of emunah. There was a great rabbi called the Magid Memezrich. They came to the Magid Memezrich, somebody, and he said, "Rabbi, the Gemara says that just like a person has to thank God for the good, he has to be thankful for the bad also, because even the bad is good." So he asked the rabbi, "How can we do that? How can you explain that? It's so difficult." He said, "I cannot answer. You have to go to a great rabbi in the city of Anepoli. His name is Rav Zushia. Go to him, he can answer this question." Okay, he went. He goes to Rav Zushia. He walks into the rabbi's house. It's not even a house. It's a hut. And the roof is leaking. And the rabbi is living in a very, very, very dark place. And the rabbi's clothes are all ripped. And the table is shaky. Ani barud, terrible conditions. So he says, yes, how can I help you? He said, the Magid Memezrich sent me to you to ask a question. How can you bless God for the bad like you bless Him for the good? So he says, He sent you to me? What are you coming to me for? I have nothing bad in my life. Everything is good. What do you want? I don't have an answer. And that was the answer. Magid Memezes wanted to show that he reached such a level of imunat b'tachot that no matter what the situation was, and what's the explanation? What's the explanation? Imunat teaches us that we only understand part of the story. We don't understand the entire story. The Hafez Chaim gives a famous mashal. He said, they had a Bet Knesset, and they have a Mesader. You know what a Mesader is? He invites the people to the Torah.
Sadran.
So what happens? A guy comes to Bet Knesset the first time, and he sees the Mesader, he tells you, Kohen. Then he goes, you Levi. Then he goes to the other guy in the back, you Yisrael, you Bechavot, Shishi, you Mashlim. He watches this. The next week, he sees the guy calls somebody from another place. And he calls up. Finally, he tells the guy, hey, listen, you don't have any order over here. You go from this way, from that way, from this way, from that. It doesn't make any sense what you're doing over here. How do they give you this position? You're doing things backwards. He said, listen. You came 2 weeks. You're trying to understand the system. Come here for 52 weeks. And you'll see exactly everybody gets aliyah. You'll understand why he gets shishi. He has your side. He needs mishaberach. If you come for the whole 52 weeks, you'll understand exactly the. But you cannot come for 2 weeks and start questioning why you're going this way and that way. That's the mashal of the Hafez Chaim. Today, people don't appreciate that mashal. So we have to upgrade the mashal. How do you upgrade the mashal? A fellow, he goes to the movie. You people are tzaddikim, you don't know what movies are. But, lavdil. He walks in 45 minutes late to the movie. He's watching the movie. He doesn't understand anything. After the movie's over, an hour later, him and his friend walk out. His friend says, this was the best movie. I mean, what a movie. I'm going to watch it again. The guy says, watch it again. This was the dumbest movie. It makes no sense. There's no plot. There's no rhyme or reason for anything. I don't know how they could show this. He says, you're joking? How could you say such a thing? He says, I'm telling you, it didn't make any sense. He says, listen, you came 45 minutes late. So you missed the first 45 minutes. All your questions, if you were here from the beginning, you'd understand it. You cannot read a book and start from page 200 and then you finish 10 pages before the end and expect to get a good experience. In order to understand the book, you need to read it from the introduction to the end. In order to understand the movie, you need to watch it from the beginning to the end. In order to understand the Mesader, you need to be there from the beginning to the end. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're trying to understand me. God is Hayah Hoveh Yehiyeh. God was, is, and will be. God says, I've been there from the beginning. Ani Rishon ve'ani Aharon. I'm the first one in, first one out. I've seen the whole movie. The movie started with Adam Rishon, and it lasts so far 5,777 years. And we come for a small sliver. We come for 70 years, 80 years, but the movie started 5,700 years before us. And then we leave after 80 years, and there's 200 more years. And then we come along and say, huh? Does it make sense? This is crazy. This is... Only somebody that's able to be there from the beginning to the end can say it makes sense. There's amazing Gemara. I sent an interpretation to the Gemara. The Gemara says, one of the rabbis, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was looking at the future, in a prophecy. And he saw the generation of Rabbi Akiva. He said, oh, 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 oh. What a rabbi. Listen, rabbi. Bi'akiba. He said, show me the end of Rabbi Akiva's life. I want to see what's going to be the end. And in the movie they show him, Barmanan, the Romans, doing what they did. They tortured Rabbi Akiva. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Zu Torah v'zu Schara? What is this here? This is the reward? So Borei Olam says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, if you want, I'll bring the world back to Tohu Vavohu. Should I bring the world back to the beginning? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, fine, no, it's fine, I accept. And I was always wondering, what does God mean when he says that? Should I bring the world back to Tohu Vavohu? He's asking him a question. It doesn't make sense. So God says, I'll bring the world back to Tohu Vavohu if you want. So I explained it like this. There was once in the olden days, they used to have a tailor. He used to bring the material to the tailor. Exactly, make me a suit. You give him all the materials. So one fellow, he bought very expensive material. He brought it to the tailor. And he said, I want a suit. He took his measurements. And good, he made the suit. He comes back. And he tells the tailor, is my suit ready? He says, yes, here it is. He says, where's the extra material? I gave you all the extra material. He says, it's all in the suit. He says, it cannot be. It cannot be. There has to be extra material. Where's the leftovers? So the tailor says, I'm telling you, it's all in there. And if you don't believe me, he starts to take apart the suit. And he starts to take apart the suit. The guy says, what are you doing? He says, I'm going to show you where it's all there. He says, don't touch the suit. I trust you. Borei Olam says, you want to understand the world? Then you have to be with me from the beginning. Let me reset the world and destroy it. And you'll start from the beginning again. And you'll be able to see from day one. And then you'll say everything is b'hishbon. And everything is emet. Sadiq ata. Dayana emet. And everything is right. The problem is you cannot come in for a small clip. And try to understand. Hayah over here. It's not fair. Oh. That's what Emunah tells us. Emunah tells us there's a part of the story that you didn't see. Now, are we ever going to see that part of the story? They say yes. Many times in the Gemara has a question. The Gemara has a question. The Gemara doesn't answer the question. You know what the Gemara says? Teku. What is this teku? I want to know the answer. That's the answer. Teku. What is it teku? Teku is Rashi Tevot. Tishbi Ya'ane Kushiot Uba'ayot. There's a Navi called Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaTishbi. Tiku means Tishbi. Eliyahu HaNavi. Ya'ane will answer Kushiot Uba'ayot. That means, you have a good question. When Eliyahu HaNavi comes, there's going to be a long line. And all the questions that you have, you ask Eliyahu HaNavi, he's going to explain to you. Not only questions in the Gemara, questions in life. A lot of things happen in life and they become questions of teku. You write them down in your diary. When Eliyahu Navi comes, I'm going to ask him, Eliyahu Navi, why? Why did this happen? So, oh, this is a big question over here. Let me show you the details. Let me open up the suit for you. Let me start unraveling it so you see the parts that you didn't know. And everybody's going to come along and say, Emet. So, once Eliyahu Navi comes, you don't need any emunah anymore. Emunah is only before he comes. If I show you, I say, Rabotai, I want you to have emunah. These are sunglasses. You don't need emunah for that. You see them. What you see, you don't have to have emunah for. This you know. However, if I put them in my pocket and you don't see them, I say, Rabotai, I want you to believe that there's sunglasses in my pocket. That's emunah because you don't see it. Once the Yahweh comes, you don't need emunah anymore. You're going to see it. It's going to be clear. So this is what the matzah is. When we take the matzah, there's a matzah of emunah. But the Gemara says, you have to break it. And only leave a little piece on the table. You know why? Because darko shel ani befrusa. Who's the ani? Ani bedaat. Where's the ani? We don't understand God's ways. And we only understand God like a sliver of the matzah. We only understand part of the story. דרכו של עני בפרוסה, the way of an עני, he only sees half a piece. Where's the other piece? The other piece is safur. The other piece is hidden away. One day you'll understand the end of the story. So when we're sitting in front of the matzah, which is the food of emunah, emunah says, you only look at half, because that's as much as you're going to get is half. And the emunah says, whatever happens in your life, you cannot make a judgment on it yet, because you don't have all the facts. Once you have all the facts, then you'll see everything is correct. And therefore, we say, darko shel ani, where the ani? The ani that doesn't understand, darko befrusa, his way is with a sliver, his way is with a piece. Oh, at the end of the seder, already we're ready to drink the fourth cup. That's already at the end of the seder. Already we're talking about Mashiach, we're talking about all the future. So we say, now bring the other half. The bringing of the other half represents the time when Mashiach comes, where the story is going to become complete. But that other half of the story is safun. Safun means it's hidden. Safun, we don't know. Why did a child bring it out? Children are amazing. Children have a much greater ability to accept things more than adults. I don't know why it is, but it's very true. Children are able to cope. Children are able to manage somehow. Adults, I guess maybe because of all of our bad experiences, we become bitter and we become angry and we have a chip on our shoulder and we become cynical and we become sour and we've been burnt so many times and things that, so we become, you know, we have a claim. Kids are pure. They're able to accept things as they are and they go forward. You ever see a child when he's learning how to walk? Every 2 seconds he falls. What does he do? He gets right up again. And he's smiling. And he falls again, he gets up again, he walks, he smiles. Kids are able to adjust. I was recently on a trip to Israel, and I was traveling with a very big psychologist. And he was telling me this, that kids are able to accept things more than adults. Adults don't adapt so easily, but children adapt. He says, recently, Balmanan, there was a tragedy where a couple had passed away in an accident, and they had to tell the children. So they brought the psychologist to tell the children. They brought him and the grandparents. So they tell the children, Balmanan. So the kid turns to the grandfather, and he says, Grandpa, you always said you could do a better job than my parents. Now's your chance. He said, what a thing to say on the spot. That's emunah. It'll be good. We'll work it out. We go forward. So therefore, who brings the safun out for us? The kid. The kid who has emunah tehura. The kid that has emunah peshuta. He comes to the father and he comes to his daddy. Here's the other half of the story. The child, because he's tahor, because he's pure, because he's untainted. So therefore he's able to present the other half. And therefore by eating the matzah and thinking of this, that means when you break the matzah on Friday night for you, when you break it, this is the kavanah you have to think. You have to tell your children. You have to tell everybody, why are we breaking the matzah? Because emunah teaches us that one half you know, and there's another half you don't know, and that's why we hide the other half. And therefore you have to accept that it's whole, even though you don't see it. And you have to accept that it's tov. But even, what's the purpose of Leil Seder? To teach your kids emunah. Not just to eat haroset and zerawa. You have to teach the children, it's Leil emunah. Haga emunah. What's emunah? You have to teach them these principles. You have to explain it to them. That part of emunah is safun. It's hidden. That part you'll never know. I shouldn't say you'll never know. You'll know at the end. You'll know at the end. Guess what? I once asked a big rabbi a question. Rabban Gamliel, it says in Haggadah Shal Pesach. Rabban Gamliel Aya Omer, Kol mi shelo amai shloshet devenim elu bepesach, lo yatsa yedi chobato. Ve'elu en Pesach, Asa Omaro. Those are the three main things. Pesach, Masa umarosh. What's Pesach? The Korban Pesach. Unbelievable. And he passed over our houses. He passed over the houses. Incredible. Matzah, that's referring to the matzah when we left. First we brought Korban Pesach. God passed over our homes. Then we ate the matzah of Geula. And then it says Maror. Pesach, Matzah, Maror. Hold it.
The word matzah.
Matzah.
What is it stand for?
Matzah. No, זה השם של הלחם הזה. Matzah is a flatbread. Matzah is השם תבוא.
Like you said Pesach, Pesach.
Okay. אני אסביר לך. It's כמו crack, like a cracker. Okay. וגם זה ראשי תיבות. מצא מכל צרה הצילנו. That Hashem saved us from the צרות. אז קוראים לזה מצא. מכל צרה הצילנו. Anyway, I asked the rabbi a question. It's out of order. Why does it put the maror at the end? It should say, רבן גמליאל אומר, כל שלא אמרו שאדומים בפסח לא יעשה לחובתו, ואלוהם, מרור, פסח מצא. It's not so difficult to put three things in chronological order. Why does he put the maror at the end?
So we don't forget where we come.
That's one explanation. That's a beautiful explanation, you say. Because when a person has Pesach Matzah, he can become arrogant. Yeah. Pesach Matzah, he's free, he made money, now he's Hashub. Don't forget the maror. Don't forget where you are. The maror is in order to keep the person modest and humble, so the success doesn't get to his head. But if a person forgets where he came from, so then the success can get him drunk. The success could make him think he's somebody that he's not, and therefore, God forbid, he becomes Baal Ga'aba. So therefore, according to your interpretation, Pesach Matzah, but don't forget Maror. I like that interpretation. But I want to say another interpretation. What's mean Pesach Matzah Maror Meshut Arab? When a person's going through a maror in life, he cannot understand it. Why is God bringing me this maror? Maror ze she'anachnu ochlim al shum ma. Why? Why do I have to eat this maror? Why is God doing this to me? And again, there's nothing. I never saw a person that doesn't have maror. Everybody lo'alinu has a maror somewhere in their life. And they always ask, maror ze al shum ma. And the explanation is, you cannot understand it now. Because when you're going through it, you only understand part of the story. Therefore, you have to put the maror later. Defer it. Put it at the end. Take the maror. This is something that cannot be understood. Pesach, matzah, I got no problem with that. The maror, you have to wait till after, when Eliyahu and Avi comes. Then already you'll get an interpretation for the maror. But if you're going to try to understand the maror now, I want to know. You can't know. How could you know now? How could you understand the Misader now? How could you understand the movie if you missed half of it? How could you understand the book if it's missing pages? How could you understand the maror? You don't know the... You want to unravel the suit? So therefore you have to put the maror at the end. That's the sefud. Oh. These are the hag of the emunah. These are the stories of emunah that you have to tell the kids on the night of Pesach. And then if you have personal stories to tell them, because you could prove it. Kids, this would happen to me. Something happened in my life at the time I didn't understand it. I thought it was a terrible thing. And then, all of a sudden I saw it was great. I always tell my kids on Pesach the following story. My story is not better than your story. It's my story, that's why I like it, because I know it's emet. When I got married, I was a kollel guy. We rented an apartment right next to the kollel. I was very happy. Very happy. I couldn't have been more happy. It's Gan Eden. I just walked to the kollel. I walked back to my apartment. I walked to the mini mart store. I walked back to my everything. I don't need a car. In the summers, we would go to Deal, New Jersey to my in-laws. In my mind, this apartment, I'll live there forever. I'll live there forever. There's no reason. All of a sudden, the owner of the apartment calls me up in the summer, Ashkenaz guy, Schoenfeld. He said, Rabbi Eli, yes. I thought he wants the rent. I paid him the rent already. I know, I sweat for the rent to pay him the rent. He says, I have good news, I have bad news. What do you want to hear first? I said, I want to hear the good news. Good news, we sold the house. I said, that's good news for you. What's the bad news? Bad news is you have to move out. When do I have to move out by? No, you have it till by the end, by Labor Day. But now it's August. But I have a contract. You're going to take me to court? Okay. I'm not taking you to court. Okay. So don't talk about a contract. Put on the contract. I sold the house. I got a lot of money. That's it. Now I tell my wife, you're not going to believe it. How could Hashem do this to me? I'm in the kollel. It's next door to the kollel. I was the rabbi of the shul around the block. I mean, what does Hashem want from me? Where am I going to get money now to buy a house? So we went to Brooklyn. We scrambled. We went because we were in deal for the summer. We came back to Brooklyn. We're scrambling. We need a house now or something. We found a small little house. I don't have the money to pay for it. Borrow this, that, blah, blah, blah. In the quickest way imaginable. We buy the house in a month. But I'm not happy to buy the house. I didn't want to buy the house. I don't have the money to buy the house, nor do I want to move. But I'm buying it under the gun. We buy the house, finished. I'm under pressure now. I'm losing weight. I'm sweating. I can't sleep. How am I going to pay for it? A day before Labor Day, a guy calls me up. Hi, Rabbi, Mr. Schoenfeld again. More good news, more bad news. You killed me some already now. You want to hurt me some more? He says, I have good news, I have good news. The good news, I have good news or bad news? What's the bad news? The deal fell through. The good news is you could stay. I could say, I just bought a house. I signed my name. I got a month. I scrambled. It was the summer of scrambling. I said, oh, no. I have good news and bad news for you now. And now I tell him, I'm out. I bought. Now, at that time, I thought it was a terrible thing. Why did Hashem do this to me? Why would Hashem tell me something that didn't materialize? I went to, in retrospect, if that wouldn't have happened, I never would have had a house. A few years after in Brooklyn, the houses, the prices went through the roof. Something that was $200,000 became $1 million. If I wasn't able to afford the 200, I definitely would not have been able to afford the million. And if I didn't buy a house at that moment, I still would not have a house today. So what did Hashem do? Something that looked very bad at the time, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he sees the whole picture. He sees the past, the present, the future. So he says, let him think I'm doing bad. Let him think. I don't care what he thinks. I know I'm doing good. Yeah. When a mother takes the baby to the doctor, and the doctor comes out with a big shot like this, so the baby looks at the mother to protect. My mother's going to protect me from this guy. He's going to stab me. And what does the mother do? He holds the baby down. Ah. And the child cannot understand it. My mother became a partner to the villain. My mother became aiding and abetting this criminal over here now. She's supposed to protect me. Now go try to explain to a child that in this shot is a medicine so you don't get the rubella and mumps and measles and all this whooping cough. What does he know about inoculation? Only when he becomes older, the mother, he reads in the newspaper that there's a measles epidemic. He tells his mother, how come I never get the measles? I'm waiting for you to ask me this question. You remember that day when the guy came with the shot and I was holding you down? This little shot saved you from 10 diseases. Oh, Toda Rabba, Mami. Thank you, man. Pesach Masa Maror. You can only understand the Maror after. It takes time. That's Safun. That's the Matzah that's in hiding. So, that's a perfect story of life where something looked very bad at the time. But then at the end you say, Yishtabach Shemo, God was helping me where I wasn't even aware of. And again, everybody has stories. But there's something else I wanted to say over the night of Pesach. This is a hadush that I said today in the yeshiva. I never said this hadush in public besides today in the yeshiva. I'm going to talk to you. Because we're talking about Eliyahu Navi. If you open up the Chumash, in the Chumash, when God came to Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush, so God says to Moshe, Lech ve'asabta et zeknei Yisrael, go call the elders, ve'amarta alehem, and go tell them, Adonai Elohe Avotechem nira Elai. Tell them that the God of your fathers came to me. Who's the fathers? Elohe Abraham, Yitzhak ve'Yaakov. The God of Abraham, Yitzhak ve'Yaakov. And go tell them, Pakod pakadti etchem, I remembered you, ve'ta'asui lachem b'mitzrayim. So very simple, beautiful. Go tell them the God of the fathers, Abraham, Yitzhak ve'Yaakov, has remembered you and is going to redeem you. So far so good? Look at the pasuk right before that. Vayomer od Elohim en Moshe. God says to Moshe, Ko tomar b'nei Yisrael. Go speak to b'nei Yisrael. And go tell them, Adonai Elohe Avotechem. Same story. The God of your fathers, Elohe Abraham, Elohe Yitzhak, v'Elohe Yaakov. Shelachani Alechem sent. Do you see something different in this pasuk? In this first pasuk, when it mentions the Avot, it says, Elohe Abraham, Velohe Yitzchak. I'm sorry, Elohe Abraham, Elohe Yitzchak, Velohe Yaakov. In the second pasuk, it says, Elohe Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Why in the first pasuk does it? Does it split? Okay, but why? Why is it? Why is it in the first pasuk when God's mentioning the Avot, He says Elohe, Elohe, Elohe. In the second pasuk it says Elohe Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. This is the question that one of the members of our congregation asked me on Shabbat. Be'emet, I pushed them away. I didn't know the answer. I said, but I'll give you the, but at the time I didn't know the answer. Now I have the answer, so let this be the answer. I hope he listens, he'll hear the answer. There's a Gemara in Baba Metzia. The Gemara says there was a great midrash, yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva was a rabbi called Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. And it says, every day Eliyahu HaNavi would come to that midrash. Eliyahu HaNavi would learn in that midrash. The Gemara says, if you see Eliyahu HaNavi, you're lucky. If you see him in a dream. Ve'ashrei ha'noten lo shalom. Lucky is a man that can see Eliyahu HaNavi and tell him shalom. And here he used to come to the midrash of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi and learn every day with the Talmidim. One day it was Rosh Chodesh. He came late. So they asked Eliyahu HaNavi, Benad, where are you? Why did you come late today? He says, I had to go to Hebron. Hebron, what's in Hebron? But he went to Hebron, Navi, Lavon, and Ma'arat HaMachpelah. Ma'arat HaMachpelah? What did you do in Ma'arat HaMachpelah? He says, I woke up Abraham Avinu, I made Nitilat Yadayim to him. With Paler, he prayed. Then I put him back to sleep. I woke up Yitzhak with Pandel. I mean, Nitilat Yadayim. He prayed, and I put him back to sleep. Then I woke up Yaakov Avinu with Nitilat Yadayim, and I put him back to sleep. So, the time. So they asked Eliyahu HaNavi, Rabbi Yehuda HaKadosh, Rabbeinu HaKadosh asked Eliyahu HaNavi, why didn't you wake them up altogether? Oh, exactly what he says. He says, because if the Avot would be all together and they would pray, the Mashiach would come. And God's not ready to send the Mashiach. So God tells me you have to wake them up, each one separately, so they don't come together. Because if you have Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, even for 1 minute together with Tefillah, the Ge'ulah will come. Now let's go back to the Pesukim. In the first Pasuk, God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu that go tell the Jewish people that Mitzrayim is not the final redemption. there's going to be more exiles after. But eventually there's going to be the final exile, ledor dor. Ze zichri ledor dor. That's talking about the final redemption. In the second pasuk, it's talking about the redemption in Egypt. When it comes to the redemption in Egypt, what does the pasuk say? Kotomar b'nei Yisrael lech ve'asafta ve'amarta Hashem Elohe Avotechem nira'a elai Elohe Avraham Yitzhak v'Yaakov. There the Avot already in Hebron are all together. Avraham Yitzhak v'Yaakov. They already handled it. The Avot have gotten up in Hebron and they prayed together, and therefore the Ge'ulah of Mitzrayim is done. In whose Zichut? In the Zichut of the Avot. Therefore it's written consecutive. Elohe Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, they all woke up together and they all prayed. Zichut Avot. In the first Pasuk, it's talking about something that didn't happen yet. The Avot did not yet make the final Ge'ulah. Therefore, the first Pasuk says, Elohe Avraham, Elohe Yitzhak, Elohe Yaakov. They're still separate. We're waiting for that moment that the Avot will get up together in order to make the final Ge'ulah. And when is that? Hakamim say, B'nisan Nigalu, B'nisan Atidim Nigael. There's a good chance that the Ge'ulah can take place in Nisan. Because it took place already in Nisan in Egypt. That means in Nisan, the Avot got up together. The Tilat Shadayim, they washed their hands, and then they prayed together. And it worked. So when we come to Leil HaSeder, we want to arouse the Avot, that it shouldn't be Elohe Abraham, Elohe Yitzhak, Elohe Yaakov. We want it to be Elohe Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. So what do? We take matzot. How many matzot do we take? Three matzot. Why do we take three matzot? Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. We take the matzot and we put them all together and we put them on the Ke'ara. And what do? First, Kadesh Urhatz. We wash our hands, just like Eliyahu HaNavi washed the hands of the Avot. First, we make Urhatz. We wash the hands like Eliyahu HaNavi made the Tilat Yadayim for the Avot. And then after the Tilat Yadayim, what do? We take the matzah and we lift it up. That moment of Urhatz and then the matzah, we're telling the Borei Olam, look, we're trying to activate. Go send Eliyahu HaNavi to the Ma'arat HaMachpelah now. Let him make Netilat Shalayim Urhatz and let him wake up the Shlosha Avot. Not Elohe, 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 Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov simultaneously. We're trying to arouse the Ge'ulah that it should happen. Let them pray for 1 minute and we'll get out of this mess. And it says, when Mashiach comes, what's going to happen? They blow the shofar. Somebody asked, Rabbi, what do we need a Ke'ala for? Ke'ala is the Seder plate. He wants to know, can he put the food on the table? Meaning, I'll put the matzot over here, I'll put the haroset over here, on the table. Or do you need a plate? Halakha says you need a plate. It doesn't have to be Ke'ala of silver with all the, any plate, but it's called the Ke'ala. We never call it Ke'ara. Normally we call the plate Salahat. Why on Pesach do we call the plate Ke'ara? It's a fancy word. Why is it Ke'ara? You know what the Rabbeinu Ari says? Because who's on the Ke'ara? The Shlosha Avot. And the Shlosha Avot, if they pray together, what's going to happen? Mashiach's going to come. He says, take the four letters Ke'ara, Kof, Ayin, Resh, He. Correct? What's the letter after the Kof in the Hebrew alphabet?
Resh. Resh.
Kof.
Resh.
Answer, tell me. No, not Ayin. In the alphabet. Shiyavin, Shiyavin. Is it Ota Hare Kof? Resh, any kotev resh. Ke'ara, is it ot? What's the letter after ayin? Pe. Resh, ke'ara, what's after resh?
Shin.
And what's after he, ke'ara, he? Vav. Rashfu. How about shofar? Otiyot of ke'ara, the otiyot after ke'ara, otiyot shofar. And therefore when we lift the ke'ara, we're lifting the shofar of Mashiach. And what's on the ke'ara? Shlosha avot. And therefore we just made the tilat shadayim, like Eliyahu al-Navi, and now we lift the ke'ara. That's the Ka'ba shofar gadol l'chilutenu. That's the secret of the ke'ara. The ke'ara represents the shofar of Mashiach. That's why you need a shofar. That's why it says, magbihim et ke'ara. Because the ke'ara is above the shofar. The letters ke'ara are above shofar. Magbihim et ke'ara. Ha-ke'ara ze gavoa me-shofar. Ha-otiyot ze gavoa me-otiyot se-shofar. So when you're lifting it up, you're telling the Borei Olam, Borei Olam, bring the avot already. Let them wake up. This is a very, very important moment of the Haggadah. Before we break the matzah, when they're still together, we lift up the ke'ara at that point over there. We're praying to the Borei Olam to send us redemption. And that's why at the end of the Seder, well, how does the Seder end? We take a kos, they say kos habishi, fifth cup. And what do they call that cup? Kos shel Eliyahu al-Navi. And we say, Arahaman, Yishtachlanu, et Eliyahu al-Navi. Zachul la-tov. Vibased lanu besorot tovot. Yeshuot v'nechamot. What is the secret of the kos of Eliyahu HaNavi? It's two parts. Eliyahu HaNavi serves two purposes. Number one, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to redeem us. That's the shofar of Mashiach. That's the redemption. Eliyahu HaNavi is the one that wakes up the avot. After the Seder, we take the kos of Eliyahu, we say, Eliyahu HaNavi, okay, we did it, now go to Hebron. Eliyahu HaNavi, kos of Eliyahu, we did it, off to Hebron. Go wake them up. Go make the Tilat Shadayim. Means we want to wake up the first day of Pesach and then we open the news. The news is, Mashiach came. It worked. We basir lanu besorot tovot yeshuot v'nechamot. But Eliyahu HaNavi has another purpose. We basir lanu besorot tovot. He has to give us good news. What's the good news? The good news is the other half of the matzah. Eliyahu HaNavi, give us Besorot Tovot. Explain to us how everything that happened to us was Besorot Tovot. And he has that as well. Eliyahu HaNavi has two hats. He has the Besorot Tovot and the Yeshu'ot v'Nechamot. The Yeshu'ot is the Geula. And the Besorot Tovot is the Teku. To explain to us why and how everything happens. Sometimes you don't need Eliyahu HaNavi. Sometimes you can understand it in your life, like in my story with the house. But sometimes you don't get an answer right away. And Pesach, when you eat the matzah, you're putting imunah into your stomach. Therefore, don't be a kamsan, eat. If the doctor says you have to take a certain vitamin, you take the whole vitamin. You don't take less than you have to, you won't get better. In order for the matzah to work on the imunah, you have to have the shi'ur. So therefore I told you at the beginning, go get your scales, go measure the 20 grams, eat the 4 kezetot, and then be'azat Hashem. After already we go into the Seder like this. Now it's not just a ritual. Now it's already an exercise in Emunah. And then Borei Olam will come along and will listen to us. And that's why we say Safun. Once already they bring the Safun back. Now Barich. Now we can bless God. Now we understand Hashem. And what do we bless God? Halel. Before we understand that we cannot say Halel. Before we understand that we're angry. We have questions. Once they bring back the Safun, now we say, Barech! Amaze Barech! Halel! Praise God! And then Nirtzah, Amaze Nirtzah, we accept everything. Everything is good. These are the moments that we're waiting for. And these moments, Be'ezat Hashem, will happen. Rahmanu yishlach lanu et Eliyahu HaNavi zechud ha-tov. Yibased lanu besorot tovot, yishuot v'nechamot. Amen.